listening to JB and the General. Call or text into the show, 615-844-5600.
Well, it is time for Cat's Corner, our weekly visit with the members and prominent figures of the Nashville Cats Arena football team. 1-1 now after a loss last Thursday at Albany. Joining us, well, he really needs no introduction, the legendary broadcaster and voice of the Nashville Cats, Eli Gold. Eli, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Sitting here in Dallas, Texas, I'm speaking at a dinner this evening, the Stallings Award,
nice.
Named after Coach Gene Stallings, is being given out this evening, and I am one of the speakers. So I'm sitting here in the courtyard of the hotel, enjoying a nice, humid but comfortable morning.
That's great. I had the pleasure of having you on my Sportsline show a couple of weeks ago, and it was really great finally meet you in person and chat with you. Well, listen, the Cats start off with that great win over Minnesota, 47-12. A great defensive performance, especially in arena football. Game two at Albany, a short week. You go on the road, and it was 51-41. That's more like what you expect from an arena football game, right? High scoring on both ends, correct?
Yes, 51-41, 70-60, something like that. That's usually what you see in the Arena Football League. It was just a game last Thursday night that was replete with penalties, and that was a major factor. A number of things came into play, but penalties were a significant part of the ball game.
Obviously, you called football for many years at Alabama. We know about your legendary career there. How are you making the adjustment to calling arena football? It's everything's condensed and there's more plays and there's different rules and stuff like that. How are you making the adjustment, Eli?
Well, I'm doing okay simply because this is not my first time to call the Arena Football League.
Right.
Back in the day when in the original Arena Football League, TNN, the Nashville network, had the rights and they had me doing the broadcasts along with Sam Weich and Ed Cunningham, and Jill Arrington was our sideline reporter. And then once the games left TNN, they were picked up by NBC, and NBC hired me to do the Arena Football League. So I have done AFL games for many, many years. And though it's been 5 years, I guess, since I had done one, but it came back to me very quickly. The one thing I did do, however, is I sat with the rule book and I read it cover to cover. I read every paragraph, everything, just to refresh my memory. Other than that, though, we've had no problems with the broadcasts.
Eli, of course, you've been able to watch the Cats and some of their players during this offseason and in practices. You never really know what to expect from some of the other teams. How impressed have you been with some of the other talent from some of the other teams, the two teams the Cats have played so far?
Well, how do I put this nicely? Minnesota, I was not impressed with at all. They are they're a startup team. Not that the Cats aren't, because it's a startup organization, but Dean Kokinos has put together an outstanding team, whereas the Minnesota Myth, taking nothing away from Ricky Foggy, the head coach there, they just were overwhelmed by the Cats. Now, last Thursday, even though the coaching staff has undergone a few changes, Albany is a very, very good team. They're a chippy bunch. They play and they make sure you are going to be getting hit. It is not an easy game to play, and when Nashville and Albany got together, you knew it was going to be that kind of a night, and it turned out to be. You know, the Cats didn't lead until the last few seconds of the opening half, and then, of course, in the second half, it went back and forth, and then Albany took the lead and eventually pulled away, but I was impressed with Albany. I don't think there's any question, and I have not seen anybody other than those two, but I don't think it's a question that in our division, it is going to be Albany and Nashville, 1 and 2 in one order or the other. I'm not sure how it's all going to play out. It's just been two games now, but those two teams are very, very good. Minnesota needs some work.
Eli, what was that first home game like a couple weeks ago for the Nashville Cats, seeing all the fans file into the arena and kind of, I would assume, getting to interact with a few of them and getting to call a Nashville Cats win?
And not only that, do it alongside your buddy Pete Weber.
Yeah.
That, you talk about two legends doing a game. My gosh.
Yeah, Pete and I have known each other for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, and we've been dear friends. And, of course, when I did the Predators on radio, Pete was doing the TV with Crispy, so we traveled the NHL together, and you know, I've known Pete forever, and it was wonderful working with him. We just had a great time, and you know, I was really impressed by, I knew Pete had, you know, was around football for years, did a lot of stuff in Buffalo, I knew all that, but getting to work with him was really very, very special. I really enjoyed the heck out of it. And the other thing that really impressed me is that the fans brought out, they were fans not only of the Predators, and the reason I know that is because when they introduced the starting lineup for the Cats game, the fans started saying, "You suck," and that's what they do at Bridgestone.
Yep.
And you know, and then when they introduced the coach, they said, "And you suck too." You know, so I said, so Pete and I looked at each other. I said, "Oh, there are some hockey people in the building." There were also a lot of jerseys from the original Nashville Cats,
nice,
going back to the original incarnation. And I said, "Well, we all knew." That those guys, those men and women hadn't moved, well, some have, but not everybody had moved. So you knew there were a lot of folks in Nashville who used to turn out in great numbers at the Bridgestone Arena. And those folks have come back out. So it was a lot of fun. It really was. Met some youngsters from, you know, different area universities, people who want to be broadcasters, fans who knew me from Alabama. A couple of guys came up with Crimson Tide jerseys on, nice, asking me to autograph those. So it really made me feel very much at home, and it was just a great time. It really, really was.
Awesome. Well, they're looking for another great time this Sunday. The Philadelphia Soul coming in, a 2:30 kickoff here locally, and we look forward to hearing you Mike's side for that game, Eli.
Thank you. It'll be a lot of fun. I don't know exactly that much about the Soul. I'm still doing prep work on them. Had to travel today, but I'll get back to prepping for them tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, and I'll get to know a whole heck of a lot more before we sign on this weekend.
All right, Eli, have a wonderful day, sir. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure, fellas. Take care.
All right, the great Eli Gold. That's a great story he told.
Yeah, very cool.
You knew
that would happen.
Hearing Eli Gold saying, "You suck." I think that's a promo. I think we're going to have to put that on a promo.
Yeah, might have to clip that.
Oh, great stuff. What a gentleman. Like I said, I had the pleasure of having him on my Sportsline show a couple of weeks ago, and just a wonderful, gracious man and a true legend in broadcasting. So.